Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show on the CRS Radio. And you're here with us today, your host, Bro Blue, and co-host, MHL. Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. So today, as you know, we're looking at the whole thing about the Vice President, potential Vice President of the USA, Kamala Harris. We'll be discussing that. And just want to say hello to our online chat, Ringing It Boy. Okay, welcome, welcome. Bro Blue, welcome, welcome.
Yes, Muma, my day again, another week. Good afternoon, every goodies, everybody, and everybody where you are. Yes, I. Boy, you know something, before we go into anything, I just want to bring this issue forward, or issue, whatever you want to say. Yes, about health care, you know? I do not think that people understand the magnitude of the need for health care, you know, especially when people are getting older, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't have money. Poor people don't have money. Poor people should therefore take care of the wealth that they have, which is health. Because when you're young and strong, you have health, and you go out and you swap it for wealth, and then you come back and take the same wealth, trying to get back some health, you know. Right, so health is primary, premier, first and foremost. And I just want to say to you, you know, I had a little run-in the other day with a health center in New York. I went over there just for, you know, a little blood pressure check, you know, thinking that my blood pressure was to the moon. And you know what happened? The doctor checked the pressure and you know, I was laying down there for a while, hooked me up with an EKG, and gave me a couple of tablets, some bottles of water, and I was there for probably about three hours the most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think, 3 hours. And so, you know, I signed up some papers, and after finished signing the papers, I left and thought that, well, everything was fine. And so the insurance company came at me, you know, and started, you know, saying to me that I need to go and pay a bill. And I said, what bill? How would you imagine how much, right? That was $2,700.
Oh, wow.
Let me just ring that, you know, because we probably didn't get that. $2,700. And that's in Jamaica. That would be probably about $415,000.
Oh, my God.
I didn't go in for an operation. I didn't go in for surgery. I went in for just a regular check, you know?
Yes.
All right, just hooked me up to a machine to see what my blood pressure was like. It says kind of a little high. I got to take it down. So they did. And that is what it resulted into. But guess what? I was pretty defined. I just stared them straight in the face and said, listen, sue me. I'm not paying any.
Yes, yes,
and I was adamant that I was going to do that. So So they said, okay, all right, no, let's talk something. So I got a discount of $2,000-something. So I only paid it $300. And they gave me prorated, meaning that you can pay little until it's finished.
Wonderful. But
that's not wonderful. That's trying to get the crooks. That's getting the crooks. The crook, it's not wonderful.
You managed to get the bill down. It should not even be that much.
Hmm?
That's what I'm saying. It's wonderful you got the bill down that you actually
They brought it down because I wasn't going to pay it.
But you need to move to London. No. You wouldn't pay anything. But we have a caller.
I wouldn't pay anything at all. You know, so it's either I don't pay anything at all or you just dry it down and give me a chance. So I just told him that, and they came down. So I'm saying to people out there, the insurance companies are really getting some bills from your doctor for things that they never even administered.
Yes.
And what I notice also is that anything you go in and say to your doctor, if I want this, they're ready to write the script.
Yes.
And that's disgraceful. Because gone were the days when your doctor used to advise you. No, you are advising your doctor. That's rubbish, And then we have some little Google doctors now.
Yeah,
just go look up online.
Well, we're glad you're here and you're well. Bro Blue, we have a caller online. We haven't even started the show properly. But let me just welcome the caller. One second.
Wow.
Let's try again.
Yeah. A whole lot of reverb there.
I know. Hello, caller. 0302. Hello. Okay, maybe the call just wants to listen in. That's okay. I put it back on. Okay, so
right.
I was just saying to the person online that I'm a Londoner. That's completely shocking for me. That kind of bill. So I'm not used to that.
Yeah,
the doctor.
Yeah.
You are
enjoying the best. No, let me tell you something. I was surprised, when I was in school, right? When I was in school in Scotland, and I went to the doctor one day, and I think I'd gone in for a lot of things, but I got I remember I got a pair of glasses for free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, free, free.
Yes, yes.
But my colleagues used to laugh at me and call it the NHS glass. you have your NHS glass. You have your NHS glass on the desk. I say, yeah, man, free glasses.
Yes.
But I still could see well out of it,
It's not really free. We pay our taxes, and those that don't work also benefit from the healthcare, and that's how it should be. That's what's about socialism and looking after each other. You work for a long time, suddenly you can't work, but you still get the benefits when you're not working because that's what we all pay into the pot somehow.
Mm-hmm.
We all benefit from that pot,
Mm-hmm.
That's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So we're going to look at this today with Miss Harris.
Yeah, Kamala Harris.
Yes, we're asking the questions, we're asking yes or no for her. We're asking, as our first black Indian potential VP of the U.S. of America, how is she received?
Black and Indian.
As a multicultural, multinational woman of color, are we looking at policies over personalities, What's going on here? What's your opinion on the whole thing regarding Joe Biden choosing Kamala as his...
At first, I had mixed ideas because I thought that, she never hit me because I was looking at how they were more playing off the Indian. She's Indian and she's black, but I didn't hear the Jamaican yet. You understand? I didn't hear the Jamaican. I was listening out for that. But I keep hearing them playing up. So I decided that I was going to do my little research. And I went and found out that the father was alive. The mother is dead. But yes, right. Still, the mother was the one that was getting all the credit. So I realized that the divorce between her father and mother was acrimonious.
Yeah,
and,
I think
and, you know, just like every other woman, you know, the father is always the loser in the end, you know. And then the mother now twists the kids' heads to take sides and fight their battles. You know,
ah.
So you find that children are always fighting their parents' battles, which is, to me, is a form of child abuse.
Yes.
You don't abuse the children by telling them to take sides. That's their parents as well. Whether it's a mother or a father, you shouldn't be doing that. So, you know, when I saw them playing up the, you know, the Indian and the Indian side, I kind of never feel too hot, you know.
Yes,
I'm not talking about
her
performance or something, because I didn't know anything about her background until
right.
I went and researched, you know. But that part I started out with, and that was what intrigued me into going to find out.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, so I did my little research, and I found out that the father is kind of sitting in the shadows. And I didn't
yes.
like that. I don't like that. I saw an essay that he wrote in 2018.
Right.
You know, and I think that is more or less, it sounds to me like it's a pacifier rather than, you know, than just something that he wrote because it really, you know, because of some relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was more or less a pacifier. You see, like you and I would have a friendship. I'd write
right.
something, yeah? But if you and I are estranged, you know, I'd probably just write something pacifying. But we
yes.
know that, you know, just to keep people out of our family.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but
did
the
you
man
see the
is
comments?
Very private. He's
yes.
very private, and he says, "Listen, I don't want anybody to come to me." And I agree with him. That's a decent, you know, that's a decent thing to say. You know, don't
yes.
come over here and ask me anything. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. What happened between
mm-hmm.
him
so,
and his family should remain there. Yes,
yeah.
I mean, but you know, he gave her kind of a public rebuke when she was on that breakfast show talking about marijuana
yeah.
when they asked her,
yeah.
you know, have the marijuana.
No,
she goes,
if I have a daughter and if I have a daughter and I know how I was grown, and
mm-hmm.
I am positive that we never had anything to do with weed.
Right.
And then she's going on the show to talk about, oh, you know, I'm Jamaican, so what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
I got, you know, something, I got very mad once.
Yes.
You know, when I was, I can't remember which country I was, you know. But somebody asked me about, you know, hey, Jamaican, yeah, man, mwah, weed. Hey, don't come at me like that. Are you
yes.
Nevada? You know, not everybody, it's not everybody on Bob Marley do the same thing. You
right,
know, so
right.
So come on, yeah. So I think
I
that's more or less, he wanted to, you know, to... His image is tarnished by that from where he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't tarnish.
I can understand because even as a Jamaican as well, living in the UK, they do the same thing to me as well. They automatically assume that if you're Jamaican,
yeah.
that you're involved in the weed culture. And I know, I mean, many people that I know in Jamaica don't smoke, not even cigarette, never mind weed. So it is quite offensive to us.
I don't even eat meat. Never mind smoking. As a matter of fact, you know something? I can tell that anybody is smoking anywhere in it. All I need to do is put something over my nose, like a mask, and I can smell and I can get the cigarette. I don't know. I'm so sensitive to cigarettes. And I'm saying, you know, and anything that goes into somebody's mouth is in that form. I don't want no smoker. I want the closest I'd like a smoker is about 150,000 miles away from me. Don't come near
mm-hmm.
me, you know. I hate smoking with a passion.
So, so we can
never mind
so
when you open
can,
your mouth and all that. You know, when you open your
so
mouth.
So we can understand this kind of response that her dad had, being somebody with some integrity or whatever, not wanting that to be associated with his family in particular as well, you know.
Yeah.
Very understandable.
Well, you know something? You know something? Believe you me, when I read about him, I have the feeling that this is not an ordinary man in Jamaica.
No.
This is not no guy from the street.
Oh.
These are people from the snob class.
It is the elite.
That's it, that. Believe you, yeah, this is the impression of me get. He's
okay.
From the aristocracy, around here we don't smoke weed at all. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think he's from that. Yeah, he's from that stock.
And that's fine. I mean, you're born into a family. Yeah, he's born into the family, and therefore he has his standards, and that is, you know, I appreciate his stance on it, because too many times it's a joke about Jamaicans and weed, and I think it's a very bad joke. If you're Jamaican and you smoke weed, that is your prerogative, but don't assume everybody does it, you know. Even when I'm in college and I have students asking me or implying, this is something I do culturally, I find it quite, a bit dodgy, really.
Yeah.
But I have some policies here. For, the BBC asked a question, where does she stand on key issues? And they sort of looked at police and race, health, climate change, gun control, and women's rights and immigration, of course. So one of them, regarding health, you know, this one she had to kind of backtrack on. But basically, they said that she had a shifting opinion on the issue, which damaged her presidential campaign. So the thing is, she was Bernie Sanders' 2017 Medicare for All bill. To provide government-run medical insurance for every American. But she had to backtrack on that, which is unfortunate, because I think, really, they do need something like that in America, where everybody can have access to health care like they do in the UK.
Even Donald Trump, I watched Trump. He was doing an interview with Larry King.
Right.
And Trump said, his friend was in Britain and got medical care, and then turned around and said, "So how much do I owe you?" They said, "No, nothing." He said, "Why?" "Nothing. Go. Leave. All right. Have a nice day." He said he couldn't believe. And they gave him good, and it was extremely good. Now, let me tell you something. There are three things that should never, ever, ever, ever go into private hands. Ever. One, your education. Two, let me take them back. In one, number one, health should never go into private hands. Two, education. And three, housing should never go into private hands.
And also transportation, too.
That I will... No, yes, in some respect, when you have market forces determining service, it is a disaster. Forces should not, price mechanism should never, ever be allowed to determine service. How you do that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So American people do not know what socialized medicine is. They don't know.
They
were brainwashed into thinking.
Listen, you know, over here, I was at a hotel once and a lady fell down and hurt herself. And we were saying to her, "Let's call the ambulance so the ambulance can come for you." And she was like, "Oh, no, I'm fine." And I'm insisting that she gets this ambulance. And I said to her, I realized she's American. I said, "You don't have to pay for the ambulance." She goes, "Really?" I said, "No.
Yeah.
They will take
it
to the emergency. You won't pay for that either." And she was like, "Really?" She was so surprised. I said, "Yes, we can't have you here. You sat down, you hurt yourself." And we called the ambulance, and she went off. And because she didn't, you know, she had the insurance or whatever. and expect
right.
to be like rebels. 2,000 what? 700? No, it's we don't charge for that. We care for even the
actually
the,
don't know. There was a girl once, and she was coming off a train somewhere. I think probably somewhere in the U.S. I'm not sure where. And something happened that her leg was caught between somewhere there, the door or somewhere there, and it tore her leg. And even though she was bleeding profusely, you know that the woman was saying to the people, she wasn't too concerned about bleeding out. She was saying, please do not call an ambulance. Don't call them.
Yeah, it's awful. And this is what I'm saying.
Once Friday, when I was coming from work, I came to a four-way. And mm-hmm. just as I entered the four-way coming through, you know, this guy was coming down, woo! Break the stoplight straight in my car. Bam! Write it off, my dear. Everything, glass was all shattered all over in my mouth, my head. When I look, I saw two ambulances. Two came in, cops, about three cop cars. And this guy come to me, so we need to take... I say, you need to take me nowhere. So I did not come in. I said, no, I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm fine. I did not, at the time, I did not even know, you know, why they were egging me on, you know, trying, you know, persuading me to go.
Yes.
You know, I didn't know the charges or anything like that, even though I had insurance. But he was there saying to me, okay, you know, like in a threatening manner too. You better sign
yes.
this. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm not even signing anything either. Leave me alone and get out of here. Because I was mad. The guy just ripped up my car. Rip it up. Tear it up. So, you know, healthcare in this country is a disaster.
It is. And what they're saying in the article is that Biden is actually more for the Obama's landmark Affordable Care Act. So this was something that's helped to derail her racing for the presidency. But I think it's good. I like the idea of this, to be honest. Now, with her, the whole thing of police and race is where it gets really controversial, as you can imagine. Yes?
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, she describes herself as a progressive prosecutor and a top cop in her previous roles in California.
Yeah, she sent a lot
But her record rankled both liberals and conservatives. And this is what the black community is very divided on, because, you know, she claims that, you know, she's black conscious and blah, 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 but yet still, you know, the black community has disproportionately suffered by the level of sent to prison. And
well, you know something, looking on the other side, you look on the other side.
Yeah.
Up till now, they don't offer anything else, you know. Any good alternative. There's only a promise, but nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
So
and a policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's going on, man?
We need policies, not personalities, you know. It says here, one comment under her YouTube said, Kamala, why did you try to put an innocent man to death? Kamala, why did you lock up children for smoking weed? Kamala, why did you lock up parents for truancy? You know, and why did you use slave labor? Because the idea is that the more
people... I don't think that the truancy law came into. I don't think so.
No, the idea is that...
I don't think that it was innocent.
You know, if you have prisoners, you don't. They do a lot of work in the community, and they get very little pay, if any. Yes. So the other thing that I challenging her now: why did Joe Biden choose somebody with that record? I think she could make a good president, but not right now. That's my opinion, personally. But people are obviously things.
You know something? I had. You know, I. You know who I really like.
Okay.
You know, I really like. I really, really, really like my girl, Susan Rice. I really love Susan Rice. You know why?
Right.
She is a steel bottom.
Right.
She's tough. You know, I like a woman who can take charge. Tough.
Right.
Steel
right.
bottom. I don't like nobody coming down to tell me what, you know, what I must do. Don't ask me what you must do. You're just going to do something. You know, so
but that's the thing. You know, if a person is consistent with their policies, not like coming to tend to be, what you call it, identity policies, swapping and changing back and forth. I mean, let's look at it this way. Somebody said not long ago during the primary, she called Biden a racist and sexual predator, right? And then now it's like, what, he's suddenly not a racist and a predator? She said that she can recognize a predator and yet still she's working with a predator. So she's saying one thing, and when it suits her, she says something else. This is the problem where people are having with Kamala at the moment. She's highly educated, she's very, very intelligent, well-spoken, well-presented, but the policies are always shifting and moving to suit the situation. Yeah. Maybe that's why Rice would be a better person, or even that Elizabeth or somebody else. But in all honesty, my question is America even ready for a female vice?
Yeah, hold up a little bit.
Okay.
Yes, you're listening to the MHL and Bro Blue Show. We are at 1-661-467-2407. You can call in and join us. The number again is 1-661-467-2407. Hey, let me say something. You see, when I look on the other side, it doesn't look... You see, when I look on the other side, you know, not that I, you know, I'm not trying to tell people to vote for, but when you look on the other side, and when I look around the leader, I see 8 guys going to prison, 9 guys going to prison. I see so many criminals going off to jail or getting indicted for different stuff around the leader. So I'm wondering, you know, I kind of don't like what I see is happening over there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because too many, you know, when you look over there, I have never seen in the history of the United States, I mean, so many people, criminals in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, are affiliated with. Oh, come on. Have you ever seen that?
Well, maybe they were there,
you know, but have you ever seen that evidently?
Because so many guys got to prison. No, because we're in an age of information now. What used to be hidden and underground is open, and people can investigate for themselves. They have their own camera phones. People, everybody's like a journalist now. So things that were once hidden and not known to the public is all out there, you know. So it's a new phenomenon.
Yeah, but let me ask you something. Have you ever seen so many indictments on one?
No, I haven't.
On a government? Where everybody around the leader, the immediate people, you know, around the leader, are serving prison sentences.
Well,
and it all has to do with something that is connected to the leader.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that?
No, they're surrounding themselves with people of questionable character. But
there you go.
Our online guest, bringing it, boys, it says, one question to ask is the world ready for a woman in America, in the White House? Not just Americans themselves, but is the world ready? I would say the world is ready.
Look here, let me tell you something. I get mad when, look here. I have daughters, you see, who are, I can tell you, strong women.
Yes.
You understand? Now, when they say ready for a woman, what does that mean? What is so wrong? Or what should be so qualifying about a woman to lead somewhere? Indira Gandhi, come again. What is it about a woman?
It's the mindset of the person. Listen, we in the world are ready. We've had Margaret Thatcher. We've had two female. We have a prime minister that's a woman.
Indira Gandhi, Golda Meir from Israel.
The question we're asking, Blue, is America, are the American men ready for a woman? We're ready.
But let me tell you, this country is not only racist. This country is misogynistic too. We're
exactly.
talking about a woman. Why a woman? Why the woman has to come? Why the woman? Why the character woman has to come into? Why it's not a person?
That is the point I'm making. Nobody is fighting against Kamala or any other woman. We're examining now the mindset of the people. Are they ready for that?
Well, let me tell you something. The other day I was watching a guy going among some Trump supporters. Mr. Trump supporters were at a rally, one of his rallies, right?
Right.
And they asked one of the women there, would you want president? She said, no, women are not made to lead nothing. You crazy?
Okay.
And the guy said to her, why? She said, no. They'll start a war in no time because of their hormones and all that. But the guy said to her, but all the wars that were ever started in this world were only men started. A woman has never started a war yet. And she shut up.
Good. That's wonderful.
You know that? So I am wondering, you see, these people are programmed to even think that they are less than men, you know.
They are. And this is what I'm saying.
Which
and
is
they, sad. They will vote against their own self-interest, some of these women as well.
This is exactly what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
Even against their own self-interest. I couldn't believe
Definitely.
A woman was saying that about
Definitely.
Women.
Why are you surprised?
No
I'm not surprised.
No woman is ever fit to lead anything.
Are you serious? There you go. So it just goes to show that the majority in that country, in your country, it's exposing the underbelly of their thought process because it's a lot of prejudice against gender. Forget racism right now, gender alone. So this is why I was saying, you know, really needed to think carefully. Is Joe Biden serious about really winning? Because he should, as a white man, he should know how his people think. It's as if he's ignoring all of those factors. Does he really want to win? That's what I'm asking. Can I just look at one of the policies, Kamala, on gun control? She's quite strict on that, you know. And people in America like to have that. They like their guns. So she's only
right.
she's now they're offending the gun holders because they're planning to do things like, you know, take away public certain weapons, assault weapons that people have. They're planning to buy back, like a mandatory buyback, compelling owners to sell back their assault weapons because, of course, you know the history of mass shooting in the USA, starting from way back from. From Tulsa, right into the present time here with the 50 people being killed at the party in California, blah, blah, blah. So will they vote for her? People like their guns. Straight away, they're not going to be happy about that.
You know something? There's something controversial. You know, most of these people are white Christian people.
Yes, I know.
Conservative people.
Yes.
Huh?
I know they're Christians.
Do you know that? And do you know that? Do you know that in the USA, the liberals are the ones who are more willing to give up their guns? They don't even care for it.
Mm-hmm.
No, because if you have a security forces around you, so what else do you want? What else do you want? Let me tell you something. The security forces in America is militarized, you know. It's not. They are not. They are not as benign looking as the ones and like the ones you have over there, the body.
Yeah.
They are not, you know, they are not the ones in the white shirt and the hi, good morning, and they'll walk you to the corner and talk to you. And they're not like that. These are military people.
Yes.
Right? Who are completely disassociated from people. And the only way they solve problems is the best way they know. Beat you and shoot you. That is what they're for. So we don't really have a police force in the United States. What do you have? You have militias.
Right.
And it's completely unnecessary. It's unnecessary to have those people on the place. Because who are you up against? Unharmed people.
Yes. Yes.
When you look at, there's nowhere in the world that has protests like South Korea.
Mm.
If the government put on one penny extra, as a matter of fact, a fraction of a penny on a pound of flour, rice, or anything, Koreans hit the street.
Right,
you ever hear
they're
shooting any one of them? You ever see them shooting?
No.
And some of them, when they go out there, they throw stones and throw bottles at the police and everything. And these guys are trained. You don't have that in the U.S.
Right, right.
You have, of course, you set militia against the masses.
But the thing is that people are now changing. Their mindset are changing. People are now going out and purchasing guns. People who wouldn't normally buy guns are now buying their guns.
It happened a lot under Obama. It happened a lot under Obama, where conservatives went out and entered the gun stores.
Yeah, but it's happening a lot now since this George Floyd.
Yeah, I know, because you have the other side now going out. Because guess what? Let me say this, and this is my analysis, right? For over the years,
right,
I've been saying this. Bosnia, Herzegovina, if you studied what happened in the Balkans, right, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, and what Slobodan Milosevic went and did to inflame the Serbs in Kosovo and subsequently in Croatia and Bosnia.
Right.
Right, because, the armed conflict in Bosnia was land-grabbing and this whole ethnic cleansing stuff, right? People were grabbing land over there, right? And
yes,
that the Croats wanted to join up with the Serbs to cut up Herzegovina among themselves and cut the Muslims out of it, because they said, oh, the Muslims, they're either Croats or Serbs anyway. So it's just, so the land is just Croats or Serbs. But the Muslims wanted to be exclusive. So there was some big conflict over there. Only resolved when I think it was Clinton at the Daytona Accord and brought Tudjman and Milosevic and Isaacovic or something like that, to the table. And all four of them, they had the Daytona Accord and they thought it out themselves. Milosevic came back. The same thing happened now. And I believe that something like that can happen in the USA. Where your own neighbor, your very neighbor that you used to have picnic with and barbecue and hug up and have a good time, turn on you.
Right.
No, I believe that is a possible thing that can happen in the U.S.
Well, history does repeat itself.
Because you just need an idiot to come and stroke the flames, man. Stroke the flames, Hey, listen, you're being disenfranchised and you're brown people or you're black people or you're white people, so, you must get this and take care of yourselves and we have to take care. And that's all that it needs. Because I've seen some amount of that around this way, right? And people don't understand geopolitics. People don't, because they don't take time out to study geopolitics to see what happens in all of these fora and what can transpire in their own country when stuff like that happens. United States is one of the most multicultural countries on the planet. None other. Everybody from the planet is in the USA.
That is true. But that's
everybody has their own way of doing things. They have their own ideas. They have their own values. And they want to protect them.
I liked one of her policies on women's rights. She said she proposed providing all workers with 6 months paid family leave for personal or medical issues, including those related to domestic violence. And I like that because I feel as though sometimes Americans do work, even when they're not well, they go
that
to work.
That is what is happening in a...
And I like this policy, to be honest.
Yeah, but that is what is happening in civilized countries already. If you go to the Scandinavia, it's happening there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yes.
I mean, to say that Oh, we're going to give you a couple slices of bread. And, you know, people can get that somewhere else. That's no big deal, you know. We want something else. It's no big deal.
I mean,
although, you know, it's welcome, but it's no big deal. Knock us out with some big deals.
But they do need some serious prison reform in your country, because even in those Scandinavian countries, sometimes their prisons are empty. And they've had to get out some of the prisons to people across Europe, you know, because they have so much space and so on. So
but one thing, but you're making a mistake right now there. United States is not, United States is not, don't have prisons.
Really? What do you call it?
They are penal enterprises for where they warehouse people's misery for money. That's completely different from prison. Prison is where you go for reform, for social reform. You don't go in there for social reform. You go in there, it's a revolving door. It's pretty high. In Scandinavia, a man kills 6 people and him get 10 years and come out, he's reformed. Not here. Yeah. Him get 10 years and come out, him go back in again and keeps going back in.
It's a business. It's a big business.
No, you don't have prisons there. USA is not designed for... Do you know that the prison is on the stock market?
Oh, yes. It's a big business, yes.
No, listen to what I'm saying. No. Come again, baby. Go and look on the stock market. You can buy shares in the prisons. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. So you had one judge being locked up in America for funneling young people into prisons to make money. So I've read the stories around it. So I do have an idea.
Yeah, right. Because his job was to make sure that you hit the slammers,
Yes, right. That's what I'm saying, that big business. But her issue on immigration was quite interesting. She said she supported the decriminalization, the border crossing by undocumented immigrants, and providing taxpayer-funded health care for those crossing the U.S. border without papers. She outraged conservatives by drawing parallels between the Ku Klux Klan and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Agency with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the way how they've been handling this, breaking up families and putting kids behind bars and in cages and all these things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad she mentioned that. I really appreciate that. But I think... The big dividing thing is how she handled herself regarding the prison, the imprisonment of the people in California. It was a bit harsh. And that papers came to her for her to sign so people could be freed from the death penalty. And she didn't do it until after the person was killed. Those things really hurt African Americans, you know, because we've really borne the brunt of this sort
hold
of...
Hold on, let me ask you something. Was that Tookie Williams? I think Tookie Williams was the last person that was executed in California.
I don't remember the name. I'm just trying to find it here, but
no, Tookie Williams, man. They were lobbying to commute his sentence, but
For how she handled it, and so these things touch the heart of the people, you know.
So let me ask you something, Marjorie.
Back into the plantation, yes.
Hey, let me ask you something now. As a Christian woman, you know, because, you know, everybody should know that, right? If somebody comes up and say, you know, forgive me of all my sins and blah, 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 you still can hold him accountable for things in the past?
You can, because even if you commit a crime, which is a sin, even if you're forgiven, even if you're forgiven of that sin, you still have to pay the price. It's not a case of, you just murder somebody and say, I'm sorry, and you're free to walk away. No, you have consequences for your actions. It's a practical Christianity. You have to pay reparations to the family and so on or whatever. So it's not a case of just you do what you want and just go sorry. No, you must say sorry, and you will be forgiven, but you still have to cover that pay that price just the same. You know, you can't just have people. It has to be practical and so on. So
I must remember that.
Yeah, of course you have to. You know, it's not a case of just I do as I like and I say sorry and everything is okay. No, it's not like that at all.
Hold up. Yes, it's almost 15 minutes to the hour, and we're here on a Caribbean radio show. Our number is 1-661-467-2407, and you're listening to MHL and Bro Blue. All right.
Yes. Welcome.
Now, let me say this, you know, because when you touch that part there, you know, we have to come back to this a little bit. You see, I believe, you see, that if somebody has a change of heart, you know, is a change of heart, and we have to give the person the benefit of the doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we should set aside, not forget, but set aside a person's past, you see, and look forward to the promises and see what it entails.
Right.
Yeah,
we,
so in this case, I think that I watched her give a few interviews, and I think she realized that she probably made some errors, or I don't know if it's because she wants this political opportunity, but I think she recognized that she made some errors, and she was pretty penitent, and she talked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I believe I am willing to give her a chance. You see,
okay.
Because what I see on the other side.
Yes.
Now I am not too comfortable to see so many criminals. You know, one leader. You know, hook up with so many criminals. You know, so many men going to prison, and also in transit or indict.
Yeah.
For hardened criminal activities. I'm not so willing to have a person, you know, representing me. Seriously, you know.
I want to say something here. Our chat member at the moment, Bringing It Boy, says he agrees with you. He says, I agree, prison in the U.S. teach you to be a criminal.
Yes.
He says Trump is working on prison reform. He introduced the First Step Act and a program to educate and job placement to get prison people a second chance at life. He said, unfortunately, since they states are sovereign, they can choose to participate or not. So even though Trump is bringing this in, there's a certain degree of sovereignty that people can choose to be in it or not to be in it, which is a good thing, really. But and hear what you're saying about the president having so many criminal-minded people being exposed one after the other as highly questionable.
Yeah.
But the thing with Camilla is that people are saying she sent so many innocent people, and it's good to hear that she's penitent about it because nobody's perfect. There's no perfect politician. There's no perfect person, really. But I still feel as though that the American populace in general are just not ready for a woman. That's the thing. I always keep saying. I'm not saying for myself. I agree. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that while he was making ground and progressing towards, I thought he would have won. I'm thinking he would have won. But when he chose her, not Kamala in particular, just chose a woman, it made me think, oh, I don't know now. Because these people don't seem to be ready for this sort of, I don't know. That's my big concern, that he probably will not win because he chose a woman, which is unfortunate, very, very
unfortunate, really. No, I am going to get upset. Please, this is getting me upset.
Upsetting, but it's not my point of view. But I'm still
getting. I have worked with some female already, who were in charge, and when I say in charge, they were in charge. They were in charge, right? I worked into a pharmaceutical research company once. I did data analysis for them.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. That girl was in charge. And when I say in charge, and it didn't feel, there was nothing, it never felt, there was no gender presence in the room. Every morning we had a management meeting, there was no gender presence in the room.
Exactly.
There was just brainstorming.
That's all I like.
Until we can learn that, until we can understand that, we are idiots. We are medieval fools, man.
I'm a big admirer of Angela Merkel. I mean, you know, we have so many...
Look, man, that's my girl. That's my girl. I love her.
I know, me too. Me too,
oh,
you know.
Okay.
And you know that in the country that are doing well...
You know, You know who I admired? Golda Meir. Okay. Golda Meir. She was on the battlefield, you know, mama. She had a rifle, you know, mama. Okay. And when she was running Israel, she ran Israel, you know, mama. Okay.
You know, recently they were looking at the world leaders and stuff like that, and were saying the best countries being run now are led by females right across the globe. And it's the women that are doing it.
I'm not going to say led by, I probably have to say that, because that's a frame of identity. But I'm saying to you, my dear, you know something? Let me say something. Let me say something. Jamaicans have a phrase that says, we're little but we're talawa. And every time I hear somebody say that, you know something? I want to take a fist and punch in your mouth. Slap you. give you a red slap to be saying something like that. You understand? It is not the country that is up against another country. It is a person up against another person. When Usain Bolt is running, he's not running against the big bad America. He's running against Gatlin, and he's whooping him.
Yeah.
If you put people one-to-one, we're talking about competence now. And it has nothing to do with gender. And it has nothing to do with race.
No.
Okay. Let's get to the maturity. Let's take that out of it. Gender and race. The person is good for the job. They're good for the job.
Our chat member is saying that, again, agreeing with you, saying, I truly believe America would vote for a woman president, but she has to be the right woman. He says, unlike Kamala Harris, who panders to people for their vote. And he says, women are good at budgeting and that they would be a blessing to the USA. So he's saying that America is ready for a woman, but just not Kamala, because she keeps flip-flopping too much. That's irritating people. You know? So he's agreeing with you.
Let me tell you something, my friend there. Susan Rice.
Yes.
Okay? The reason why Susan Rice never got in is because Susan Rice has never been into active politics like campaigning and all that. That was a mistake that she made. Now, if Susan Rice was campaigning and all of that, I think Biden would have chosen her. Because let me tell you something. If you understand that woman's background, it's somebody you don't joke with, you know.
We have a caller, Bro Blue. Hold on 1 second. Hello, caller. Welcome. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks for joining this. Yeah, welcome. What do you have to say about this?
I'm just tuning in.
Just tuning in, just listening in, okay?
Right
now, welcome, man. Welcome, and, you know, we are here every Friday, every Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, so we discuss all sorts of issues. Now, Susan Rice. Is, oh my gosh, why couldn't I just get her in there?
What about Stacey Abrams? She has some experience.
Look, there are only two persons up there that I see that are tough for the job. When I talk about, they have the texture.
Right.
The texture for the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Rice and Harris.
Only
those two I see. And I think Rice, it would have been a tough tough person, but I hope if he becomes the president, Rice gets a job like Homeland Security or you know, Secretary of Defense or something. Because what? She is a tough cookie, man. I love her.
She doesn't play around.
She don't play around.
What my friend was saying, Kabulcha, Senator of Minnesota, would have been a good choice as well.
Who?
Kabulcha, who's a senator of Minnesota, would also be a good choice as well.
I'm so hooked on Rice based on her last performance.
Right.
Yeah, and she came off the stage really with a round of applause. You know, seriously.
And friends, apparently they're good friends too. Rice and Harris.
Everything resolved, and everybody can get behind their party and their whatever and support whoever you want. But one thing I would like to see, if you have a vote, go out and vote. And the thing I'm going to advise people, avoid the post office. Do not go to the post office. Once you get that thing, take it down to wherever.
Yeah.
Hand it in. Give it in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because if you drop it in that post office, it's not likely.
Yeah, it won't get counted.
That Mr. Trump is going to deliver it against himself.
our chat member is saying that the men presidents spend way too much money on war, and there's no money left for healthcare, education, everything.
Yeah,
and he says Susan Rice would have been 100% better than Kamala. He says Stacey is not ready. And you have to remember that when we have a VP, the VP can become the president, you know. So that he's agreeing on that point. He liked Rice as well.
Yeah, so Rice. That person who is talking, man, is a genius, man. That person knows that Rice is good, man. Yeah, right. Yeah,
definitely.
You know something. I think it was two Susan Rice there. I told them were at the same job. So you have to, the one was under George Bush and one was under.
Right. Well, it's the black woman talking, the black lady.
Anyway, Susan Rice has been Obama, Susan Rice.
That's right.
The right one. She don't mince. Yeah. That's not rice and peas. That's just rice. that's no rice and peas. That's a rice. So it'll knock you out. You know?
Yes.
Anyway, we're kind of coming to a close right now. And thank you, everybody who came and listening. And don't forget, we're here every Saturday at 5 p.m. and you can come in. Next week, we want to talk about a little bit more on the health care thing.
Yes.
Because
it's very
important that we discuss some of the things that are happening in the health system across the globe. And we can compare and see which is best. You know, help people to make good decisions. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I want to thank all who tuned in today and our contributor that came in and did some typing up for us as well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It was really very interesting. And thank you, Bro Blue, for, you know, this wonderful program today. Do come back next week. This 5 p.m. USA time, 10 p.m. UK time. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Right. Stay safe. And don't forget, Corona is still around, yeah?
What's that? Say it again.
Corona is still around, yeah?
Definitely. Keep safe. Keep safe. Keep healthy.
Yes,
keep healthy.
No COVID-19. Still here. Hasn't gone anywhere. Remember that. Bye-bye.
your mind.